planned for us. As many of you probably know, if you remember the letter that we sent out a couple of weeks ago, this is the day that we are choosing to celebrate the sanctity of human life. Actually, the official day was last Sunday, but we're going to do it today. And we do have a meal planned after the morning service, and then an afternoon service to follow. Now, just to let you know, I did talk with Pastor Taylor, and I explained to him the last time I did an afternoon service, where it was before he got here, and I preached my regular evening service, I went home that night and I told my wife, I am never doing that again. I had a hard time staying awake. And you didn't see the faces that I saw out there. Half of your heads were nodding, okay? So I let him know that, and I said, you know, 20 minutes max, and he's not even planning on going 20 minutes, so yay. And I just established a level of accountability for him now. Less than 20, okay? But that's what we've got going on for the day. Some of you may be wondering about the love offering that we spoke of in that letter that we sent out to you all. And what do you do with that? And when we dismiss here to go eat, we'll have a word of prayer here first. And then you'll go through that side door to the fellowship hall and go right into the line and get your food. Okay, I think many of you knew that. We were just commenting on the way everybody was seated in here this morning. It's different. We have way more people on this side, closer to the food. Okay, and I should look. Is there any normally on this side that are sitting over here? But then this section right here, nobody's sitting here. They're all closest to the aisle so they can get out and run, I guess. I don't know, but just saying what it looks like, folks, okay? And you all had a big breakfast, so you're not that hungry, I guess. But that's the plan for after the morning service. And your love offering, if you haven't written that check yet and you want to, just make sure you write it out to Grace Baptist Church. If you didn't do that and you've already put it in the box there, that's fine. We'll take care of that. And then when you go through that side door to eat, the box will be there and you can drop it in the box at that time on your way to lunch, in case you were just still wondering what to do with that. Let's see. We are going to have choir practice after the afternoon service, okay? One song, 15 minutes. Are they all listening? Okay, so they know, quick choir practice after the morning service. Pastor Taylor's going to come and give the rest of our announcements.
All right, well, as he stated, I believe the afternoon service, you want that about 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay, and so just if you would like to prepare for that, in case you have to go out there and get something different because you have your routine, just be back by 1, and we'll be getting into the service, the afternoon service, which supposedly I am now timed on. So I just love it when he does that. But anyway, coming up this week, we do have Golden Prayer Warriors, and Tuesday, Wednesday, the online service at 7 o'clock. And then Thursday, our Need to Read program, that'll be going on from 3 to 4, 15, 3 to 4, 15 there. And they've got a good group of kids that are doing that. And then it looks like we've got our program practice at 6:30 on Thursday and then Saturday at 10 o'clock. And you know, I'm already getting articles and emails about preparing for Easter for our church services. And I'm like, I'm just trying to finish up Christmas. Just give me a break. Yes, we are going to be having our cantata this next Sunday and on January 31st at 10:30. So please prepare for that. We've got a couple other things that are coming up just that you could be preparing for. And that's Men's Connection on February 6th. And that's a good time with the guys getting together and eating together, fellowshipping. And then Pastor usually gives a short challenge from God's Word that I think is around 10 minutes long. On February 12th, we've got Sweets with Your Sweetie, okay? And so that's a little couples activity that's going to be at 7 o'clock. And so if you'd like to be there for that, please sign up for that. And I'm going to get an RSVP on the app as soon as possible. But it looks like there will be childcare for those that are sixth grade and under. And please eat supper before you come, because it's going to be a desserts type deal. And so please sign up, or once I get that on the app, then you can RSVP on the app. And I'll have an option on there for you to choose whether you need childcare or not. So that's what's coming up. And then pizza and game night on February 26th. We usually do bowling in January and February, but I don't think they're open yet. So we're doing some different things. So February 26th, we're going to have a pizza and game night at 6 o'clock. So lots of things coming up. Hope you could be a part of that. You do have your calendar in your bulletin that you could be checking out there and getting all the up-to-date information coming up, and because there's lots of things coming up. But just thank you for coming out today and helping us in focusing on the right to life. It's so important that we do value life that's in the womb and outside of the womb. And so that's kind of why we wanted to take an emphasis on adoption, because there's a whole lot of children that are out there that need parents. And if you have no idea on the numbers, I'll be given a few of those later on. So please, you say, "Hi, I can't adopt." Well, you can always help someone, be a part of it, be active in it, because James definitely talks about it. So that's what's coming up. We will have a few videos, about adoption coming up in this service and the next. This service, we're going to be featuring, those that are from our church that have been either adopted or have been a part of the adoption. And then in the afternoon service, we have some missionaries that we support that they've sent us some videos as well. So it'll be helping us in our emphasis on adoption. So I think that's it for me. So Jason, come on up. Nope, Pastor.
Yeah, I just saw, I saw Sandy came in just as we were getting started here. Now she's really nervous. Sandy and Bob are celebrating an anniversary this week. Do I have that correct? Okay, so I'm going to ask the question based on the response I just got from you. That's the tone that I'll give it. How many years have you been married? 53 years. All right. Sandy, these roses up here are for you to take home for Bob to enjoy. More so you, perhaps, but we just want to know that we honor you for you and Bob's commitment to each other.
All right, would you please stand with me this morning as we sing "Jesus Loves Me"? And if you would like, feel free to do the motions. I don't know them, but you can. Thank you.
God, thank you for this day as we have chosen to celebrate life. And children, Lord, they're all precious in your sight, even as we have just sung. God, I pray that what we do here today, while we are focusing on life, that we might be able to do so and still direct our focus to you, the author and giver of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Every prayer and step of faith. years, when we would look at our family picture, I just felt like somebody was missing. And we never even really talked about adoption. I have family that has adopted from India, but never. I thought that was really cool, but I never really thought about doing it. And then, because I just kept looking at my family picture knowing that somebody was missing. I don't have that feeling anymore. The family's complete. So I kind of, I guess, got us talking about wondering who was missing.
Yeah. You know, like, so if you read your Bible, there's numerous times in there where the Lord helps those, the needy people, helps those in need. There's countless times in there. And I believe it's Psalm 68:5 says that he's the father of the fatherless, the defender of the widows, and that's God in his holy dwelling. So as Christians, if we can't help those in need or won't help those in need, who's going to?
We chose adoption because we felt like God was laying it on our hearts to help out a child in need. And we chose China because it was basically the quickest turnaround on getting the kid and bringing them home.
I would say first starting out was the process. The adoption process was a really cool experience. We went into it not being financially set for adoption. It's expensive, and we had talked about fundraisers. Josh was totally against it and didn't think that that was what we should do. And so he went away for a weekend and I did a bake sale and at a rummage sale, and we got exactly what we needed for the next paperwork. And then he decided that, wow, that was really cool, the Lord provided. Okay, let's see what we can do. So we decided to let the Lord lead as he would through the process. And doors were opened, the amount of people that we got to meet through the process, and to just experience all of God's blessings, because he blessed us in ways that we could have never have experienced had we not been adopting. So it was really so we got to go to China and take the family. Went a family of five, came home a family of six. Got to go to the Great Wall, and that was fun for the kids. Different sightings. That was a good experience. The bad experience probably, or hard experience, was just how Maya dealt with the kids. That was really hard. She was very on guard all of the time and defensive, and she would attack the kids and they would get claw marks on their faces.
I was the only one getting claw marks.
That was kind of hard to see. The fit throwing that she did was something that I wouldn't normally allow my children to do, and so when she would throw herself on the floor, then the kids would look at me like, you're gonna do something about this. And we did eventually, but we couldn't. One, we were on surveillance in China, and two, she didn't know what was going on, and she didn't know us either. So that was probably a hard time. She had night terrors really bad. That was really difficult for Josh and I to watch her go through. She didn't know English, so we couldn't console her. So what we ended up doing actually was playing, we have an adoption song, we would play that and it actually would calm her, and we would pray over her. Then she got to the point where she would ask for us to pray and to play her adoption video, her song, to help calm her. She has not had any night terrors for about 4 years, so that's been wonderful to see how God has eased her of that, and us, because it's hard to watch.
No, I mean, I think our adoption was great. It was great. It was smooth. We hear a lot of people talk about the problems and issues they had, but we knew it was what we were supposed to be doing. I think from a guy's perspective, my biggest thing was, how am I going to pay for this? I don't have the money to pay for this. It took me a while to realize that it was what we were supposed to do, that it was already paid for. Just do it. All you have to do is say yes and do it. So that was a struggle for me. China was great. I really enjoyed that. Not so much the flight over and the flight back, but China was good. One thing in China that was, again, as a guy, I took a lot of cash with me, more than I was supposed to take, without declaring it. And everybody in China, you had to pay them off. Her orphanage, I think I paid them $5,600 in cash just to live with her. So that was a struggle for me. I don't think everybody's called to adopt, but I do think everybody's called to help where there's a need. So, if adoption's not for you, there's other ways you can help out.
Well, I was young when we adopted, so I don't really remember much of it. But I was young, so just another kid, I didn't really know. But now I just look at it as a normal child, like ours, nothing different. I don't know, she can get annoying sometimes, but she wants to play with me, and we wrestle, we play on the trampoline, she'll play basketball with me. So she does like playing with me, but other times she just annoys.
Yeah. And she won't help you clean the pig pen.
No. Chores are off limits.
So another thing for me that was a little bit of a struggle, I don't know if I even told her this maybe, but I always thought that, will I feel the same way about this child that I do my other ones? Absolutely. No question about it.
A little more love.
Maybe a little more spoiled, yeah. According to the other kids.
A little?
So who's your favorite child?
I don't have a favorite.
Yes, you do.
Good thing is I love my family. I'm happy that I got adopted.
So some struggles that Maya has had recently as she grows up is dealing with her biological parents, especially mom. And it's, I would probably say, a daily struggle for her. She wonders about her. She just wants her to hold her one more time. She asks questions about her that we don't have answers for her, and that's hard as a parent to deal with. She struggles with whether or not she'll ever see her or get to meet her. We are a part of the 23andMe site and other sites, just hoping and praying that we'll get a glimpse of something for her. She asks probably 3 times a week if we have anything for her. It's hard. It's a hard thing to watch. She struggles with missing her mom and then thinking that we are upset because she misses her mom. And she'll be like, I'm sorry, Mama, that I'm sad about my mom, but in reality, we're just sad because she's sad. And we want to meet her mom as much as she does. For her. We just want to see her one more time. That is the reality of adoption on the hard. The hard end of it is not knowing. Watching them go through it. It's hard. So we just pray. We pray for her. We pray that she'll come into contact with someone who will share the gospel with her, and that if we don't see her this side of heaven, then we'll see her in heaven. And that tends to help Maya when we talk about it and she's very upset. We just pray for mom. I think when it comes to mom and their culture, abortion is very accepted, but we're very, very proud of mom for not choosing abortion, and choosing life for Maya, so that Maya's plan, God's plan for Maya, was to be with us. And so we're very thankful for Mom. And we just pray for her.
And you know, something to keep in perspective, in 2012 when we adopted Maya, there was roughly 153 million orphans in the world. That's half the United States population. It's a lot of kids that don't have moms and dads. So, you know, we're thankful that the Lord allowed us to help Mom. And one thing we hear all the time is how blessed Maya is to have a mom and dad. But what people don't understand, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
We're more blessed to have her.
At first, I didn't know what to think. I never know anyone who has adopted or experienced it. So it was kind of all new to me. But it was really exciting. I got to go to China. It was a cool experience. And it was cool to see how adoption works. And when we brought her home, a little bit of a struggle because she didn't know English very well. So we had to adapt to that, use sign language, and that was hard to learn. And she didn't really know how to do it at first, so it took a little bit of while to get it going so it worked. That it's going to be a struggle at first, but it's well worth it in the end. She's the best thing that happened to our family. She's brought us a lot of joy. She's a fun person to be around. And even though she can be a brat sometimes, if you have a chance, I say go for it, because it could not change not only their lives, but your life forever.
Well, it just being accepted, first off, you know, as you're growing up, sometimes you look different than the rest of the family, and you know, you have that question, why do I? But my folks told me from a young age that I was special, and then that I was adopted, and that my biological mother loved me enough to give me away. And that was enough to help my heart and know that, because I didn't really have any want to find out anything about my biological family. My mom had wanted a child so bad. They had their adoption things in for 7 years before they finally got one, before they finally got me. But I couldn't have been loved more any place else. You know, I grew in my mama's heart, and the other one I grew in her womb. But they both loved me. Negative things really did it. You got teased at school about things, and then I had a stinky little brother. I don't have to mind you, you're not my sister. Mom always said, you just smile at him and say, I was wanted, you weren't. And that shut him down real fast. There's still medical questions. I know some of them, just because by chance through, not by chance, that's the wrong word to use, by the Lord's grace, I have met most of my biological family, siblings, and my mother before she died. To know that physically I could be a bad diabetic any time in my life. But psychologically, the one thing, having children of my own, I have something that only God can take away from me that's actually mine. Not that I wasn't very much so loved by both of my parents, but still sometimes you just wonder, you know you fit in, but still there's that little bit of a yearning, I guess. And then when you have, you know, I never thought about my biological father ever until they handed me my oldest son. And I looked at this baby thinking, ooh, who does he look like? Does he look like his dad? Does he look like his grandpa? You know what you said? But, and I had something that was that only God could take away, and God gave me all three, my children, I gave them all three back to him. I think it helps me appreciate and let other folks that are adopting or are foster parents know that they're doing the right thing. And I wouldn't change it. If God said, okay, you can go back 64 years and you can change it, would you? No. Mm. No.
Some positives I've seen with adoption is gaining my best friend and my little sister, and seeing her happy with us and our family. She's genuinely happy and loving and caring with our family. It's like she was made for us. Sorry. Some hardships I've seen was knowing that there's millions of other kids out there who need good Christian homes, and they're sitting in the orphanages, and you know, they're alone and scared. So that's a big one. Another one is seeing Maya struggle with not knowing why her parents had to give her up, and why she's different, and why she's adopted, and you know, why she has these things, you know, physically wrong with her, such as cleft lip, and having to tell her that, you know, we don't know anything else about her is really hard.
Go for it. Because they evidently have enough love to go around. My hat goes off to them. If you can open your arms and open your heart to somebody else's baby, you're awfully special. Mm. And God plants that baby in your arms. You know, I tell them, go for it. There's so many. Look at all these kids that I can't be a foster parent. I would have a house full, because I could never, ever, ever let them go. They were, sorry, they're here permanently. But yes, the couple that we know, oh, I pray. That is one of my biggest prayer requests when I talk to the Lord, is please, you know, I know it's in your time, but hand up that baby. At 64, I'm just thankful. There's not many negatives. There really isn't. I think it's because of the parents God blessed me with. Yeah. God does things in His time, in His way, and that if you're waiting for a baby, it will happen. Mm-hmm. It took Mom and Dad 7 years before they got me, and hopefully some aren't that long. But don't look at an adopted child as a different. They are as much, if not more, in the family. Don't. It's just their family. Mm-hmm. Many good. Times water is thicker than blood.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Anybody ask me why they should adopt, I think it's the best thing you can do to provide love for a kid that had never experienced love and never had an opportunity to show something in their life, because in those foreign countries, once they turn 18, they're rooted out to the world and they don't know what to do. I think adoption helps with that, and it shows them what a family can do with love, and especially a Christian family. Because it brings them to know Jesus, because a lot of foreign countries, they don't believe in Christianity. And if I think Maya was not adopted to our family, she would not be the Christian that she is today.
I think sometimes people question whether they should adopt or not, maybe because of they don't understand how to do it. It's, you know, there's paperwork involved, there's this and that. There's so many sources out there. There's so many people that will help you. Mindy and I have done it. She's good at the paperwork. She can help.
What I always tell people is, if you have had a thought cross your mind of that maybe you would want to adopt, do it. Because if you had the thought come across your mind, then there's maybe a reason for that. So we always just say, just do it. We didn't know how to do it either. And we actually went probably a year of just talking about it, like, you know, what if, whatever. But we were thought, how do you do that? There's so much involved. Where do you even begin? And you have to make the first step to even find out where to begin. And then we literally just did it paper by paper. And I took it paper by paper. Yeah. But I mean, if you just day by day and do the process as it comes, then I mean, And there's people out there, there's different resources to help. So I will tell people, if you think that that's a possibility, do it.
I said no, and the next thing I know, the Lord said yes, and your first plane ride is 13 hours to China. No. Don't say no.
I would definitely say do it. None of us have regretted it. We all love her as much as we all love each other. It's definitely a struggle to start because, I didn't know it. I didn't think that I was young. But, I love her. I don't regret any of it.
What would I say to someone who's thinking about adoption? I would say, what are you waiting for? There are millions of children out there who need loving, caring Christian homes, and they need someone to feed them and keep them warm and bathe them, because they're sitting in the orphanages scared. And knowing that, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Oh, 100%. I've already talked about it. I want to adopt someone from Maya's orphanage to give another kid like Maya the chance that she has gotten in our family. And I think if anybody has a chance to adopt, they 100% should.
I'm hoping to have two biological and one adopted from where I was from.
Awesome.
So I can just tell, and then, if they have any problems, I can tell them that I heal you, because I had just seen healing.
If you would please stand with me again as we sing Because He Lives. Thank you.
so much. I appreciate the music ministry today. It's been special for me. If you'll take your Bible, Psalm chapter 31. And just to be fair, I guess I have a time limit this morning too, since we're going to have food ready to go at a certain time. So I promise I'll be conscious of that. I do have a clock on the back wall. Do you remember back in the old days in Baptist churches, they'd have a clock behind the preacher? That was for all of his timekeeper critics to let him know when it was time to stop. Well, you'll notice there's no clock behind me. I'll make that decision. Actually, the food is going to make that decision today. Psalm chapter 31. You know, more oftentimes than not, our greatest time of prayer, our most intense and fervent times of prayer, come from times of greatest need in our life. And this is only right, I think. When these times come, we should look at the one who can deliver us, God. Every one of us will go through these kinds of things in our lives. So Psalm 31 is for all of us today. Let's first look at the first point, find safety in the Lord and pray, as David often did, and should do, okay? David found strength in the past. He put his trust in God many times in the past, and God had been so faithful to him. Let's look at what our scripture starts with. Verse number 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. David is, as he's done in many psalms, remembered the past. Remembered God had been faithful to him. He's going through it right now, whatever it may be, and he's remembering the past. God had been faithful. Oh yeah, God has been faithful. In thee do I put my trust. He's acknowledging his complete dependence on just God. That's important. There was nothing more he could do to fix his current issue. He had exhausted every idea, which we do when we're going through it. He had exhausted every, well, what if? Well, what about if we? He had done all of that. And so he asked God to keep him from being put to shame by his enemies. He asked God to deliver him from the crisis. He asked God to deliver him, I like this, he asked God to deliver him quickly, praying specifically. Back several weeks ago, there was a Sunday that we were predicted to get a bunch of snow. Saturday, man, I was so excited, as you can imagine, okay? Sunday morning, nothing. So disappointing. And I remember that Sunday morning, the Southards, they weren't here. They're always here. And I called them Monday or Tuesday, just say, hey, is everything okay? How you guys doing? And you know what she told me? Oh, Pastor, we got snowed in Sunday. They live just south of Blue Mound. And they got snowed in. They had to wait till the plows came and cleared out the road before they... So unfair, right? And you know what she told me? She says, well, next time you need to, something to effect of, you need to pray specifically where it's going to snow. I'd never thought of that, you know? David prayed specifically. And the phrase that he used there to God, he said, bow down thine ear. It has the picture of God stooping close so he could hear David loudly and clearly. David saying, please listen, okay? listen closely to my prayers, my requests. In verse 3, he uses a phrase that we've already looked at once. He uses the phrase, for thy name's sake. God, please do this for thy name's sake. It was simply an appeal to God that God would answer David based on his reputation of being faithful. God has a name for being faithful. I guess we could say it that way. And so David was appealing to that so that God's name would continue to be lifted up and praised. Going to God for refuge involved David calling on God for help, but also, number two, committing ourselves to God. Here's where David commits himself to God. In verse 5, he says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Now, there is this past tense reference here. He says, thou hast redeemed me. Remember, he remembered how God had been faithful in the past. God is the God of truth. And David, he rested in the fact that God would do what was right. And he rested in that. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. When we're going through it, we don't know what's going to happen. But we can rest in the knowledge that whatever happens, God is going to do what is right. Now, if it's not what God thinks is right, what is it? It's wrong. We don't want wrong. We want what God says is right. And the words he used also, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Do those sound familiar? If you fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus said those same words on the cross to God. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. See, Jesus committed himself fully to whatever it was God had planned. In this case, Jesus knew what God had planned, and he committed himself fully to it. So often we're tempted to commit ourselves to God if we know the outcome's good. But if we knew that the outcome was going to be bad, not even bad, this is the ugly, would we still commit ourselves to whatever God's plan is? That's what David was saying here. It was total commitment and dependence on God. David then confessed his confidence in God. In verse 6, he reads or writes, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. What should we do when we're hit with trouble? First, flee to God. Only he can protect us. Secondly, pray specifically and fervently about the situation. And then, as David's doing, remember the times that God was faithful in the past. The fact that you are alive right now, going through it again, is testimony that God has been faithful to you in the other times. You're still alive. God has brought you through every single time. He can be trusted. He loves you so much. Think about this. He loves you so much. He gave his son to die on the cross for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? If we do these things, we can rest in the Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us that we will have God's great peace. Look at this verse. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. He says, but in everything by prayer, that's seeking the Lord, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the result, the peace of God, which exceeds our understanding, passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The next thing that David did in your outlines, I guess we'll make this number two, ask the Lord to be merciful. Whatever the issue was that David was facing, it was causing him physical pain that we're going to see here in just a moment. Follow with me beginning at verse 9. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. He says, mine eye is consumed with grief. There's the mental anguish, the emotional anguish. Yea, he says, my soul and my belly. There's the reference to this physical health. Verse 10, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. People saw David coming, they ran. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. And David admits there in verse 10, all of this was a result of his own sin. That's hard to do. We talked about that last week from Psalm 30. And this was draining the life out of him. So he cried out for mercy because he knew he was getting what he deserved. As we consider David's difficulties, we need to recognize that with sin, there can be painful consequences. We need to recognize that. We touched on it last week. The world that we live in, this is not the world that God created. The world God created was perfect. Man walked in fellowship, complete fellowship with God. Imagine men being married to a woman who is perfect. I just gave some of you an opportunity to score points. Like you, honey. Imagine having a spouse that never sinned, that loves you the way God loves you. That's how it was for Adam and Eve. And then sin came into this world, and the world continues to degrade and decay and fall apart every day because of the consequences of sin. The horrors that we see in our world today, the consequences of the world's sin, but also our own sin, okay? They are a reflection of sin in this world. All of the bad is a reflection, a consequence of sin, because it's not what God created. A reflection, as we think about the sanctity of life even this morning. It's a reflection of the cheapening of human life that God created. Human life was God's masterpiece of all creation. He saved the best for last. And that's not just us making a play on the fact that he got around to doing man last. No, he saved the best for last. And then to show this was his masterpiece of all creation, he breathed life into man. The animals, he just said, let it be. Poof, there they were. But man, he created in his own image. And it breathed life into man. When we look at some of the environmental environmental efforts today where animal life, plant life is being held up as more important than man, that's a demonstration of the cheapening of human life. And of course, we obviously see that in abortion. It's clear. Our world has denigrated life to nothing. They don't even call it life in that section of our culture. They call it tissue. And that also extends, this cheapening of human life also extends to children that are caught without a loving home. Folks, this world doesn't have perfect answers. What are their answers? Foster care, adoption. Now, those are answers, but they're not perfect answers. What was God's plan? One man, one woman, one home, focused on God, rearing their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's God's perfect plan. And while foster care or adoption may not be perfect all the time, I know there are some bad examples, and you probably know bad examples too. But to say that because those options are not perfect, we shouldn't go that route, that just doesn't make sense to me. It's like saying because there are children living with their parents in a bad situation, which there are, right? So because there are children living with a mom and a dad in a bad situation, that means we shouldn't have children. You see, it doesn't make sense. God has called the church to step up and meet the needs of children whose needs are not being met. James referenced them as orphans. Children whose needs are not being met. And we have those needs because of the consequences of sin. David was feeling the consequences of his own sin. But Christ was different. He felt the consequences of our sin. In a way, it's like the children of this world who don't have parents. It's like the children of this world who are facing the consequences of their parents' sin. Pray that God would be merciful to them. Maybe even use us as vehicles of mercy, just like Kevin and Crystal are allowing God to use them right now and others that we know of that have already been down that road. Let's continue reading. Verse 14. That was a loud cough. I need a cough button up here, folks. Okay? Just saying that to my technology crew. All right. Verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Many times, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and save me for thy mercy's sake. In other words, David's saying, you saving me, okay, is going to exalt your attribute of mercy. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. So let's consider what David's going through. Let's just kind of put this in a nutshell. His family was divided. At the same time, his kingdom was falling apart. He's about to be unemployed. His business is about to close. His life was in jeopardy. And all of those things were beyond his control. Nothing he could do about it. His life is literally unraveling at every end. And yet David declared, number 3, trust in God. He said, God is God. God is strong. God is powerful. God is loving. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. Those are all true. He didn't say that. Those are things that we say sometimes when we're going through it. Oh, God is sovereign. God's in control. God's a loving God. He didn't say that. He said something that I think perhaps is even more powerful than saying God's in control. He said, God is my God. He wasn't talking about God. He was saying that God, he's my God. God, my future is completely in your hands. He recognized that in spite of all the problems, nothing mattered more than his relationship to God. And David focused on not his problems, not the consequences of sin and other people's sin. He focused on his relationship with God. And what happened? It brought him peace. Now, briefly, for like 2 seconds, think about a moment in your past where you were going through a bad deal. Just 2 seconds. Okay, now forget about it. I don't want you dwelling on that. You're beyond that. You're past that. You came in smiling today. Tells me you're past that. I bet you, oops, I don't bet from the pulpit. Okay. If we were behind the church, I would bet you, okay, figure speech. I bet you that if I got you to talk for 30 minutes about that thing from the past, you would lose your joy. The sense of peace you walked in here with wouldn't be there anymore. I really think that would happen. So this is what David did. He didn't focus on the issues. He focused on his relationship with God, and the result was something that his issues didn't do. Thinking about his issues didn't do this. Thinking about God and his relationship gave him peace in the midst of a storm. And then he repeated these requests that we have read him offering to God many times already in the Psalms. And folks, that's the point. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep going to God. Keep remembering him. Keep staying focused and getting refocused on him. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, it says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." 3 verses, 3 times, once in each verse, it's a repetition of God connecting, staying with us, helping us through this ordeal. Do we trust God? Better asked, do you trust God? Well, let me illustrate it this way. I know some of you are disappointed. You were expecting a big ice storm this morning. That's actually going to be next Sunday because we have our Christmas program scheduled. I'm just anticipating that now, okay? And if that happens, goodbye Christmas. We're all set for next year. That's what I'm going to do next Sunday. But how many of you are worried right now, while you're here in this room, you're worried that you're not even listening to me because you're worried that your furnace is going to give out while you're sitting here, your pipes are going to freeze, and when you get home, your house will be flooded. And you're also worried because probably what's going to happen is your insurance company will somehow not cover all of the costs because you didn't have the proper flood insurance. Anyone worried about that right now? Probably not. Why are you not worried about that? Because it could happen. Okay? Well, why are we not worried? You trust your furnace, first of all. You trust that the temperature isn't going to plummet to negative 30 while you're sitting in here. You trust your insurance policy is in order So the result is you're not worried because you trust those things. Now, back up to the question that I just asked moments ago. Do you trust God? If we're worrying, we're not trusting God. There's no way around that. Do you trust that everything is in His hands? Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? Do you trust that He has a plan? Do you trust that sometimes He allows us to suffer because that's the best way that He can perform His work in our lives? Romans 8, 28, 29. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Let's conclude the next verse. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That's us. He pre-planned us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Do you trust? How about this question? Do you trust that your life and death are already mapped out? Now, many of you may be familiar with the verse, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Okay? God has a date set in history or in the future where our life will end. Nothing we can do to change that. Your day could be tomorrow. So if you're not saved, you better get saved. That's generally how that verse is used, in short. But here's another verse. Job chapter 14 and verse 5. Seeing, referring to man, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, God. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Now, there's a reference that God has the exact month that you're going to die. And there's boundaries. We don't know if that's a 5-minute boundary or a 1 month, give or take, okay? But what that's saying there is we cannot extend our life any longer than what God has already established. And we can't take our life any sooner than what God has established. Do you trust that your life and death are already mapped out? Once we answer that question, okay, once David answered that question, he then moved on in this psalm to praise. Verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. He's just praising God. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Now, David then does right here in this psalm something which is kind of unusual. I mean, he's going through it. When we are going through it, we don't usually make it this far through the psalm, right where David's at right now, to where he's praising God while going through it. But then he goes even a step further than that, which I very seldom see in my own life or anyone else's life. Look how he ends this psalm, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. What's unusual about that? These last two verses, who is David talking to? Everybody. Keep in mind, he's going through it right now. His family's divided, his kingdom's falling apart, and people are out to end his life. And what is he doing? Number four, challenging others. He's encouraging others. Generally, when we go through it, We, I'm saying all of us together, and maybe you have never been this bad before, but just let me illustrate it this way extremely so we can understand what, so we can understand the intensity of what David is doing. Generally, when we go through it, we're sucking our thumb waiting for people to come comfort us, okay? David, on the other hand, he's challenging others. He's encouraging others while he's going through it. What a huge difference. That's the mark that we should be aiming for in challenging others. He challenged others to love God through this. And he challenged others to be strong and courageous. I've met people like that at times when they're going through it. As a pastor, I go to them and, man, they challenged me so much. I walked out of their home more encouraged than I think I encouraged them. Because they did this. And they were able to do this because their hope is in the Lord. Our greatest commandment is to love God with every part of our being. How can we not? His love sent Jesus to save me. He deserves the highest level of devotion. This love, it isn't just emotion, okay? It was action, the love that God showed us. He did something. He didn't just say, oh, I love you. Oh, how I love Gerald, okay? He wasn't singing that song to me. He showed it when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. Our love for God should not be just a feeling that we come to church to get that feeling whipped up with the right music, as is the case for many people. We need to come into church already loving God, already with that feeling. And then the action that would be following would be singing such that your pastor would have a heart attack, okay? Jesus said, if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. One of those commandments was to meet the needs of children whose needs are not being met. Our love for God is demonstrated by our love and our action toward others. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this song, as we've taken it apart and looked at specific truths in there. God, whatever we're going through, we need to be a David. Seek you, remember you, praise you, and then challenge others. Help us to rise above whatever it is we're dealing with in life. But God, also help us to remember that there are those going through it right now that can't do anything about it. And you have called us, your church, to step up and meet the needs of those who can't change it. God, help us to examine our own hearts here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain seated as the instrument plays. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Just take some time here and ask.